Blog Talk Radio.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Good evening, everyone. You're here for another edition of the Super Dave Show. Pardon my voice right now. I'm having some cold issues, so I'll manage through this. Only doing our show tonight, so it won't be too bad. A lot going on, of course. I'm sure many have heard about the earthquake in Japan, and of course all the media attention to it and the bizarre things the media comes up with. But let's get to that in a minute. First of all, I want to thank my guest last night, Paul Kurtman, for showing up. A lot of listeners, a lot of callers, not a lot of callers because I don't like callers when I'm talking to Paul. Questions. We were in a chat room. A lot of people had questions for him, which is the best way to do it when I'm talking to some guests. So same thing tonight. If you'd like to join us, just go to the chat room. And if you don't want to come on the air, that's fine. Just go ahead and put down what you'd like to hear me ask Kevin. I'll be interviewing Kevin Harned. Oh, I'm all mixed up today. I'll be interviewing Kevin Harned. Kevin Harned is another broadcaster. He works in the Southeast Missouri area. He's a union guy, and he and I are going to debate over unions. I already have a few people not happy with me right now because I'm not the biggest union fan, but I'm not totally against them. I just think that, first of all, I think government unions are a joke. I think they're absolutely useless. They should never be involved in government. And the biggest reason is, as I've mentioned to many of you, is the fact that when it's a government union, the problem is they can vote for their own pay raises. You know, they just elect the guy they want, and that guy just works his tail off to make sure he gets the pay raises for all the union people, and it just doesn't work. So as FDR said, who I don't agree with very often, he just said they should not be allowed in government, you know, in the government. Unions should never be allowed in government, and I have to agree with him. Now, there's a debate going on right now because there's going to be a law, there's legislation being looked at right now as far as Missouri becoming a right-to-work state. Now, a lot of people aren't aware of this, but many, many years ago, I think it was in the 90s sometime, we actually got to vote on the fact that whether Missouri can be a right-to-work state, and it got voted down. So we'll see what happens with the legislators right now. But that's something that we talked about last night a little bit with Paul. But tonight we're going to talk to a union guy. And Kevin is a good guy. I like Kevin. He's a good guy. But we have our differences, and we'll go through that in a minute. Quickly, want to get to the idea listen to me. On April 2nd, it's a Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. at Cartoons Restaurant and Grill. On the outside, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to have a big trailer from a tractor trailer, a flatbed trailer out there with a stage. And we're going to have a tea party here in Springfield, Missouri. And we encourage everyone to join in, even for the union people. I still love you guys. But, you know, we're not going to agree on everything. But one thing most of us agree on is the fact that our government is spending way, way too much money. There's way too much waste going on. And we just can't continue that. And the idea that our freedoms are being stolen from us all the time. Also, at the Tea Party, we're going to involve the people from the Live Free Springfield group, which I guess I'm an honorary member of the group, because basically what it amounts to is you've got these smoking Nazis who are running around trying to get everybody to vote to not allow property owners to smoking in their bars and restaurants and that kind of stuff. So if you're a believer in the fact that if you own the property, you pretty much set the rules, which I think it should be. That's, we live in the United States, so it's kind of like a no-brainer, but apparently it must be a brainer, because we have people, a lot of businesses, by the way, who use this, but they don't like the fact that you tell them to do other things. So I find it fascinating that they want this law passed, but they don't want the others. And by the way, for you businesses that are telling, that are backing the other group, I don't remember the name of it offhand, they have the right to not allow smoking in their establishments, and I would gladly tell them right now that just tell people you don't want to have smoking in your place. You can do that. There's no law that says you have to allow it. But why would you force that on other property owners? So I'm trying to figure that one out right now, because for me, if I'm a business owner, I would probably be one to say I don't want smoking in my establishment. But I also have no problem with somebody says we should have a smoking establishment. So anyway, we won't get into that right now. We're going to be talking about that in the next couple weeks, especially. The election for that, by the way, is April 5th, which is a Tuesday, of course. So make sure you show up for that. But most of all, show up for the Tea Party. We're going to have entertainment there. We're going to have some speakers. One of them is going to be Paul Kirtman, who was our guest yesterday. So please show up for it. Let's show Missouri that there's a lot of people from Springfield that are Tea Party people and believe in the freedoms of government. And by the way, there are a lot of people coming from other areas, St. Louis. I've heard some from Arkansas, some from Kansas. So this is going to be a pretty nice deal. At Cartoons, by the way, they do serve drinks, even the adult beverage type. And, of course, soda and the rest of it. And they have great food. So in case you don't know where it is, you can Google it, or I'll quickly tell you that it is about, I think it's about a block and a half north of Sunshine on Glenstone on the east side of the street. So you won't, if you're going out Glenstone, you won't be able to miss this, because there's going to be a lot of people there. So that's from 1 to 3 o'clock on a Saturday. That'll be 3 weeks from this coming Saturday. So be a good citizen, show up, and let's show people who we're about. All right, we're going to be calling Kevin in a couple minutes here, but in the meantime, I'm not going to call him until after 7:10. Big news today, we had a huge earthquake over in Japan, and like I started to say earlier, it seems like the media really gets into the fascination of just making details crazy. They were talking about huge waves up and down the west coast of the United States and Pacific Ocean, you know, 6 and 8 and 10 foot waves, and the same thing with Hawaii. You would have thought that Hawaii was going to be wiped off the map the way some of these people were talking. And the waves did hit Hawaii, but it was very, very minor. Unfortunately, Japan weren't so lucky. If you've seen a video of it, it is absolutely horrendous. So thank God you're here. And, you know, they got some nuclear plants. I don't know how to go with that, because the fact the news are going to, the news organizations are going to drive you crazy anyway, so you never know. You just don't know what to believe with them. You saw what happened with the Giffords shooting a few weeks ago. You know, they had Giffords dead and all kinds of other stuff. And wait a few hours, and you'll find out. You know, you'll find out more about the nuclear plants. But right now, who knows who's putting that news out? Let's hope it's nothing, you know, horrible, and that they've got it under control. Most of the time, by the way, the Japanese are probably the same place as the United States. They have fabulous backup plans, and I kind of tend not to believe a lot of what I'm reading on the news. I might be wrong, and that's it. One other thing I want to mention is the fact that I noticed Obama is blaming the oil companies. He's blaming the oil companies for the fact that they're not drilling, that they're not doing what they need to do. They're not pumping the oil out. Well, what a lot of people don't understand is the fact that a lot of the leases they have, they go there and they find out there's really not that much oil or it's really not worth getting. But Mr. Obama, can I tell you something right now? You took the moratorium, you put a moratorium on the in the Gulf right there, and then they lifted it, and then your administration sued to have it back on. So don't begin with that bunch of crap. My goodness, it just, you sound stupid when you say those things. And then, you know, oh, by the way, I think in the last year, there's been one permit that's been issued. And folks, guess who it's to? Guess who the permit is to? You remember BP? BP got the permit. Now, wasn't it BP that was responsible for the oil spill? Well, if that's the case, then how in the world does BP get the permit? That's fascinating to me. So somebody tell me about that because I really don't get it. I really don't get it. Well, we're going to go through that more next week because this is, you know, this kind of hogwash has to be taken care of. It has to be talked about. All right, let's go ahead and give Kevin a call. In the meantime, if you have any questions, you can go ahead and give us a call at 323-784-9620 or go in the chat room and put some stuff down, and I'll go ahead and gladly ask Kevin some questions. So, all right, through the miracle of technology, I'm going to try to call Kevin here. I'm going to try to call Kevin. Let me see. Maybe I should get that number out and everybody be real happy. How's that? Where did I put that number? Where did I put that number? Give me a second here. Okay. Tell you what, I got a great story about phone numbers. It's about my single days when, I'll tell you this story real quick. In my single days, I was with a buddy of mine, and we were down at the landing in St. Louis, and he came back all happy. He met a gal, and he was like, yeah, I got her number. I got her number. And I said, really? He says the number, and I said, wow, you got the time? And he said, what are you talking about? And I said, you do now, fella. He gave her the number for time and temperature. What a moron. Anyway, I thought it was funny. Maybe you don't. Almost got the wrong number there. Sorry, let me double check this number. This is what happens right now when you don't have a producer. My producer is upstairs listening to the show. So we're going to give Kevin a call here. Hopefully he'll answer the phone. I called earlier. He was stuck in traffic. So we'll find out here. And
hello, this is Kevin.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing? This is Super Dave.
All right, Dave, yourself?
I'm doing just great. Hey, you're on the air, just so you know, so don't say any bad words yet.
All right. Not a problem.
All right. Hey, now, folks, just so you know, this is Kevin Harned. You're a union worker, aren't you, Kevin?
Yes, sir, I am.
I've been
for some 27 years now.
What do you do, Kevin?
In the construction industry.
Okay, and you and I have had our discussions on unions.
Sure.
But we've also had a lot of agreement, too. So please, for everybody out there, understand that, you know, there's a whole lot to this. Unless we discuss this, it's not going to go anywhere. So I'm going to give the numbers out real quick again, Kevin. It's 323-784-9620. If you got a question for Kevin or me, or if you'd like to jump in there, that's fine, too. All right, Kevin, you work for 20-some-odd years. You've been pretty much a conservative, right?
Yeah, I would say highly so, and I would say that most of the people that work with me know me to be as such. Tried to share a lot of conservative principles on the job sites, just you know, anywhere that discussion is brought up.
And just like a lot of other groups, whether it be race or whatever, not all unions are the same.
No, they aren't, and I will agree with that.
But what's hurting you, you know, is the fact that you have other unions out there, just like a lot of things, and what's going on right now is the fact that SEIU and AFL-CIO and some of the other ones who are hanging around with socialists, they have an effect on you, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I've brought up different topics and thoughts many times, both at the union hall and on job sites that that deal with that very issue. You know, I brought in literature before that's had them either sponsoring events or also, you know, somehow either cross-coordinating or and I have, you know, I've brought it to other people's attention, and especially over the last 3 years that I've really noticed it. And I've often questioned, you know, some of this activity that you're discussing right there. I mean, I don't, and the huge majority of tradesmen in the union craft or in the union trades, rather, they are not gonna, you know, they don't even know about it, much less choose to be affiliated on a lot of fronts.
Okay, let me ask you this then, okay? Okay, Kevin is louder than you. Oh, well, too bad. I'll turn mine up a little bit. Okay, my question is then, your union leaders, though, aren't really conservative, are they?
They are. I'll tell you this, and this was our last election in my particular union was just, it'll be 2 years in June, and whenever I... 1 week before the election, I'm actually an instructor, which even makes it a little bit more of an oddity. I have been for about the last 4 years. 1 week before the election, I understood that the top guy was advertising my job because, you know, we didn't, A, see eye to eye on some fronts, and B, I felt like he was trying to buy my influence, and I would have no part of it. So that made me, you know, made me more of a threat. And the guy that that actually defeated him, you know, I assisted as far as I built his website. I did some other things that I did not break campaign finance law. I did not solicit votes for him inside the classroom, anything like that with the apprentices. But I did, after hours, help out the other guy where I could, and you know, it wasn't gonna bode well for me.
Let me ask
so
you
the,
a question.
The guy that's in there now, all of the business agents and the guys that are in there now are very, very, very easy to approach, and
how are they voting? Kevin. Okay, I understand all that. My question is,
right,
how are they voting though?
How are they voting?
Yeah, in other words, do they? You know, they're still backing Democrat candidates, right?
Yeah, hugely.
Absolutely. So, okay, here's what I'm trying to figure out. All right, and this is where I have an issue. All right, if most of the people in your union are fairly conservative,
and I don't know what that ratio is, but I run into a lot that are. I mean, there's a lot of hunters, a lot of fishermen, just a lot of people that whenever you break down the individual conservative traits, tend to lean in that direction. But they don't even know who they are, Dave.
That's what I'm saying, though. How does your leadership end up being all, you know, liberal Democrats or whatever the case is, they still back Democrats. So, you know, I spoke to one gentleman the other day, and he said he was, you know, he's a conservative, and he just said, I don't want my money going to the union because they're going to back somebody else that I don't want. And I, you know, that's where you and I differ. And, you know, it's like if you're putting your money, you know, they take your union dues, all right, which some of it is for the fact of negotiations and the other things that you do, okay? But my question is, how come you can't stop them from backing Democrats every single time?
It's something that's built up over years, and it's something that wasn't going to change overnight. And I have approached them on it, and I have, as a matter of fact, even recently, and I got total agreement until this stuff actually broke, but there were some Republican senators that were not going to back Right to Work. And I told those guys that if we are not the political hacks that we are accused of being, we will give these guys serious consideration and give them an opportunity to earn our votes. And it was received well by everybody I talked to. And that was before a lot of this other stuff has kind of basically, let's look at it this way, Dave. I mean, let me digress just a second. Here's my biggest problem with everything. I'm not saying that there weren't problems, that there weren't issues. Believe me, I understand this industry as well or better than anybody because I've been in it, and I know from my perspective what we're dealing with. And you look back to Reagan, and you had what was called the Reagan Democrats that crossed over.
Right.
And these were a lot of union votes. You had the same thing happen in this last election. Not only did you have that happen, but you had a lot of the unions had lost a lot of their voice. They had actually lost a lot of influence, the leadership had overall, and you had a lot of apathy. A lot of people did not show up at the polls. The ones that didn't cross over, a lot of them didn't show up at the polls. They actually didn't agree with things, and you were starting to make some headway. Now, with the first day, our Senator Pro Tem coming out and saying that he was going to advance right-to-work legislation, first of all, it was a shock to me because it wasn't discussed during the election whatsoever that I could see. There was a couple of senators that did. They were in outlying areas, and you know what? I give those guys free passes because they did campaign on it. But this came out of left field. And what it did was it threw a lot of conservative members under the bus, and it certainly limited my voice within the hall and the groundwork that I had, the areas that I had made. Now they have been given unions overall a cause to where you could accomplish and change some of the wrongs by other means and not go with 63-year-old legislation. That, you know, to me it doesn't have a success rate at all. Whenever we're looking at statistically, whenever we're looking at everything else, I'm seeing conservatives cherry pick specific things and not really, you know, get into the details of all the different things caused.
Well, that goes in both parties, though. Yeah, but you know what, I guess what bothers me, that goes on in both parties.
But here's the thing, though, Dave, we were supposed to take the high road. As far as you expect it from the left, it's just like, you know, whenever your kid should face more discipline at home than they do at school. And,
well,
and the thing is that because you should expect more of your kids, and quite frankly, if these guys are getting my vote, I expect more out of them. I expect those tactics from the other side. I don't. From the side that I'm supporting.
Okay, but look, I'm not, right now I'm just discussing this. I'm not taking sides either way. I mean, I pretty much feel
right, opposite.
But if you're a Republican and you're running and you know that every damn time you're for office, you got union members, whether they agree with you or not, the unions are always running against you. There comes a point, Kevin, when you're going on your end, you've got to be saying, you know, in a way, I don't blame them. You know, because
Dave,
it's always
I have said that.
Okay, but okay. The reason I'm bringing this up is because I heard from somebody, and I love you guys. Don't get me wrong, but what bothers me is when I hear some of the things like, "Well, I'm never going to do vote Republican again," and I'm thinking, "What are you saying? The Democrats have done a wonderful job." When I hear that, it sounds very shallow. You know, it really does. So instead of pushing the issue of what you're trying to accomplish and all that, then I hear a retreat. And I guess there's a couple of things in the union thing that's never really gotten for me, you know, never done me well. And that one of them is if I go to work for the same company, I am forced to join that union. And for me, now, if the company says that's the way we want it, that's fine. That the company can do what they want.
Right.
But that's not necessarily the case because the union then says, no, if people come here, they have to join the union. And that's where I have an issue.
Right. And I think a lot of that is a misconception. I mean, whenever you look overall at the overall unionized rate in the state of Missouri, you're at 7.2% in the private sector, 11.2% overall. You know, that tells you at best you've got 88.8% of the jobs out there are non-union. Now, personally, you know, whenever you're looking at that, these contractors and these businesses sign agreements with the unions that they will employ union employees. Now, they're not 100% union employees, believe it or not. I'm in a training facility, and all of the guys that are non-union that work in the shop, that repair the equipment, that are truck drivers, other things that are part of the, we train them. We train them right along with our guys. And it is, you know, so it's not, there's a lot of misconceptions about that whole thing. And quite frankly, I mean, whenever I apply for that job, I know what it is. I mean, there are some companies, I don't care if it's Hooters or Tilted Kilts or anything else, that have certain criteria they want of their employees.
Sure.
Are we going to step in and say that's forced weight restrictions, forced other things? That's not fair. I mean, that doesn't sound conservative to me. Not at all. If I wanted to go to work for a non-union company, I could have at least probably 9 out of 10 companies in St. Louis that I could go apply for versus a union shop. I mean, it's not, to me, it's a red herring. It's a moot point.
Well, one thing I will say, now, I want to ask you something that's a little bit out of where you are. What are your thoughts about union workers in the government?
In the government, I've always saw a conflict, and it's always been for the same things that you guys bring up, and that is you're pushing against an open door. You have a government negotiator negotiating with government employees who are representing a union, and you know, there's just, instead of having direct competition, you know, where if a business owner negotiates in poor faith, they go out of business, or you know, they're drastically hurt, where the tax payers generally fit the bill.
You mean like GM and Chrysler?
You mean like GM and Chrysler?
Yeah.
I mean like anything. I mean, you know,
that was dead wrong. Would you agree though? That was dead wrong what the government did with them.
I don't like the government getting involved in private industry at all.
Well, good.
I mean, very little. I won't say at all, because we've seen where that's taken us through the past too, and that's not exactly a good place to be. Either.
What I'm getting you, Kevin,
have no involvement. And you have China and India.
Right. What I'm getting from you, which I totally do respect, is the fact that you're saying we just want to be able to unionize, period. And I like the fact that you're saying government workers should not be allowed to unionize because that's just part of what you do. You go there, you realize you can't do it. And I respect you for that.
Yep.
And, you know, all right, couple issues there. But, I mean, your whole point of being union is the fact that the group helps you get a great retirement. It helps you get those things. I mean, why do you think a union is good?
Right. And if you look at the lowest, let's just look at the lowest three union states that have the lowest union participation. They're right to work states, and they're all under 4%. And as far as union percentage of workers, those guys, if you just look at the Department of Labor website and you look at the average construction worker's annual salary in those states, it's $12,000 less than the state of Missouri. And I wouldn't say Missouri is California. I mean, our cost of living is not that much higher than theirs. Whenever I average out the 22 states, only one of those states has a higher salary than Missouri, and that is just barely, and they average over $9,000 less per year whenever you average up the whole lot of them. Now, Dave, one of the things I'm seeing in the construction industry, whenever these states are right to work, and I've traveled to a couple of them, you have a huge immigrant worker base. So what is that? If we pass that and we have, which I've had contractors tell me, they could contact a company in New Jersey, tell them how many green cards they want, And if we go right to work, that's exactly what they're going to do. I've had them tell me that.
Hey, Kevin, do you want to take a question from somebody?
Sure.
Okay, you're probably more used to Blog Talk than I am. I'm going to give this a shot and make sure I do it right. Hold on a second here. You press the hand, don't you?
You know what? Not sure. I think so.
I tried
to. Somebody else working with me on that.
Okay.
But
are you on
one
caller?
Of the things, you know.
Wait, hold on a second. Are you on caller?
Sure.
Well.
That's all right, brother.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Then not only do you have, there should be some debate over even issuing, whenever you have unemployment rates at the rate that we do, even issuing green cards. I mean, people can call it.
Okay. Hold on 1 second, Kevin. Okay, I got it right. Okay, are you on caller?
Yes.
Okay, do you have a question?
Yeah, Super Dave, this is Richard Blowers calling.
Oh, Richard Blowers, what in the world are you doing up there?
Well, Kevin told me he was going to be on tonight, and I thought I'd call in and chime in on some issues you guys are talking about.
Okay, so you're going to have two on one here. Then, well, that's almost fair. Get about three or four more, and we'll have an even shot.
Well, Kevin's really covered a lot of stuff that him and I have talked about, because I'm a union guy too, but I'm not really conservative. I'm a constitutionalist. So I'm.
You're saying Kevin isn't?
Pardon me? I think he is, but I there's a lot of conservatives out there that I don't particularly care for, so I'm a little more straight-laced than that. But one of the things that you brought up, excuse me, Dave, was Chrysler and GM and how that was handled. And, yeah, the government interfered with that, because I really feel that if they would have let GM and Chrysler go to bankruptcy court like the federal law does in the federal constitution, that's something that's in the purview of the federal government, let them go and let them renegotiate some of these contracts and let them get their financial house in order. A lot of those fellows here at the Fenton plant in St. Louis, they still have a job today. Those trucks and vans and that wouldn't have been, they wouldn't be being made in Mexico now if they would have followed the guidelines. But because of the bailout, it allowed them to continue doing what they were doing. And
okay.
Unfortunately, that plant's been shut down. And
all right, hold on 1 second, Richard. All right, whose fault was it? Let me ask you this, both of you guys. Whose fault is it, though, that these vehicles are being made in Mexico?
Dave, that is a very, very – there are so many fingers to look at, truly, in that. To point that in one direction –
That wasn't my question. I didn't say one direction. How come you think?
I would say overall, my number one thing would be taxation and regulation and, the slave labor, which I'm sorry, but if you could get somebody for $8 to $10 a day, how can you compete with that? Do we really want to compete openly with China and their labor force?
Okay, are either one of you familiar with the Brazil Ford plant?
The Brazil Ford plant? I'm not real familiar with it, no.
Okay, Ford was hoping to build a big plant in the United States, and it was going to be like the assembly plant was in the middle, and then all around the plant, there would be all the industries that would feed into Ford, okay? And they were going to do it. But the unions said, no, we don't want that, because unless every single person feeding into that plant is union, and we want to make sure that the truck drivers have a job, because right now, obviously, the trucks bring the stuff and all that. Unless that happens, we don't want this. And Ford said, okay, fine. And so now there's that many less Ford workers, and Ford moved their plant to Brazil. And Brazil has this extraordinary plant right there. Were you aware of that?
I wasn't familiar with that.
You need to look it up. I'm dead serious. It's really it's really a great idea. But it was what I was reading is that it was the unions that said, no, we have to make sure that the guys driving trucks have a job. Industry isn't there to make sure everyone's got a job. That's not their point. They were there to make a profit. And they were actually, from what I understand from Ford, they were doing their best to work in the United States. Now, granted, you guys are correct in the fact that you have taxes and environmental garbage and all that stuff. but unions were one of the big reasons. And when I read that, it really bothered me because it was like guys destroyed your own jobs, not you, but they did. And so now you have that many more Chrysler workers, Ford workers, out of a job because of that.
Well,
now,
that's where unions go too far.
Wouldn't you agree?
Oh yeah, that's out of line, and that shouldn't happen. Now, I know at Chrysler and Fenton, a lot of the feeder companies that were in the valley there, a lot of those were not union. So that was a little different situation, and unfortunately, with the Ford plant, if everything you say is right, then that was their own fault for insisting on that. They survived at Chrysler and Fenton without having all those union feeders. Some were and some weren't, because my job, I'm a field mechanic, so I go and I was servicing lift trucks at a whole bunch of those companies all around that Chrysler plant.
Right. What's your guys' biggest beef with right to work? Why do you say there's no way I want this? I mean, tell everybody why, because they'd like to know. Richard, why don't you start, Richard? Why don't you tell us your reason why that you think there's no way there should be right to work in Missouri?
If you're talking about, I'll use my company, for instance, because I'm much more familiar with that.
Okay.
Guy that owns my company opened that company over 60 years ago with his own blood and his own sweat and his own money. And when it came time to start hiring guys, he wanted to do a union shop. That was his choice.
Right.
And he negotiates, he negotiates contracts. And if like Kevin said earlier, if he negotiates a bum contract and it costs him too much money, then he goes out of business and he loses his investment in his family's business. So for somebody like the state legislator to come in and say, well, no, you can't do that. You can't limit your employees in a particular area to only union. Well, you're putting the workers' freedoms above the freedoms of the guy who's got all the money in the game and is putting out jobs and creating employment opportunities and profit, and then all of us are paying tax dollars.
Can't the owner, though, say, no, we're only hiring union workers? Am I getting it wrong? The right to work, they have to do that? I should be able to say, no, I don't want anybody to be union workers.
Yeah, but
if they come in with the law, now it's my understanding that basically that law says that if you don't want to join the union, you don't have to. Okay, well, that interferes with the owner of the company's rights. Now, I don't know how
that works. Okay, in that case, I agree with you guys, because the owner of the company should be able to say, if you're going to work for us, now, unless there's some undue pressure or something like that, but if the owner of the company says, I want a union shop, it's just like the smoking, the zealots and all that stuff. I agree with you 100% on that. It's his right to hire who he wants, and if those people want to join it, that's up to him. There, I absolutely agree with you.
Well, see, that's the thing, is I think they're lumping all this in together, public and private sector unions. And I'll tell you this, too, personally, I have a problem with my union dues, the share of it that goes to political action. I have a problem with that going to strictly Democrats. I honestly do. And wasn't it some time ago they had a bill that would allow you to designate where your political contributions would go, and it got shot down and didn't get through. I personally would love that, I don't want to take away from the collective bargaining money. I don't want to take away any other benefits that we get from our dues. But as far as the political action stuff goes, absolutely. I have a big problem with that. But I'll let Kevin talk.
If that's the case, then. Here's something that's kind of bugging me. As soon as you say that, now you're asking government to pass a law, and why shouldn't it be the union guys saying, look, if we don't want it to go there, that's it. I mean, why is government being involved? That's where we differ right there, because government should not be involved in what your union is doing. If that's the case, then you guys should be saying, we don't want that. I mean, that's only fair, wouldn't you think? We can't have government protecting us for everything.
Well, no, we honestly can't. I'm not sure I understand your question exactly, Dave. Whenever you're saying that they shouldn't get involved, at what level? I mean, are you saying that they shouldn't demand that a employer not only work union labor? Or are you
if I own ABC company and
right.
I say I want this to be union shop, that's my business, period.
Right, but it wouldn't be if this law goes through.
Well, no, there. I agree with you. So I'm not. Maybe I'm missing something here. Okay, and maybe
right.
somebody come in and correct me. And we're going to go through this a couple of times. Maybe I have you back on, but I want to get this right because right to work means it. You know, it should be up to the employer. Okay,
right.
It shouldn't be up to the union. That's where maybe I'm getting the facts wrong, and I think it's only right to get the facts right before we start, you know, tearing each other apart.
Sure.
So
That's my biggest problem. I offered to go to Jeff City, as has Richard, to talk to our legislators. And Dave, honestly, I feel like this is just a way to politically kneecap somebody that they viewed as an opposition. And believe me, we've created enemies, and I've said that before, too. But
why don't you go to your leaders, though? Hold on. Why don't you go to your leaders, though, and say, we don't want our money to go there. I mean, my problem is involving government in this, because if it's your leaders, then you should be able to say, look, we're screwing ourselves royally here. I don't want this Democrat. The only thing we're going to do is we're going to be, it's like the blacks are just, you know, they only vote Democrats. So it's basically what happens in a lot of these cases. You have to do it to protect yourself. Why aren't you guys going to the union and say, you know, let's redo some of this. My union dues, I do not want going towards Democrats, period. Or I don't want going towards political campaigns, whatever. But it should be your money. There should be a part in there. Why aren't you guys fighting for it? Or maybe you are. I don't know.
And we certainly have. And again, I mean, you know, that's a fact. But here's the main thing, Dave. Let me run this idea by you. And something that I would like to see is a ballot initiative. Now, you say you don't want to see government get involved. On this level, and Richard and I had both talked about this, if as long as we're not interfering with First Amendment rights, and believe me, do you think that corporations, unions, PACs, any kind of made up entities, do you think they have First Amendment rights?
You know, I kind of used to, but I really don't anymore because I think it ends up causing real issues. I think every American.
I think that that's funding this whole mess politically, and I think we're having trouble getting intellectual honesty in this whole picture.
But Kevin, to be fair, it's funded on the other side with unions, and so right now you got people saying, no, we want to go against this. So both of them are awful.
Absolutely.
You know?
You've got it. And
yeah.
Here's what I would love to see from the general public on a ballot initiative. I would love to see something put forth that we could vote on as a state and say that, you know what, if you are any of these faceless entities, you can't contribute directly to anybody's campaign. And that would be only citizens with Social Security numbers, and they would be unlimited in what they could give to anybody they wanted. I don't want any group to give to any campaign. But see, you're not going to get the politicians to go along with that. You're not going to get some on the conservative side. You're not going to because that's their cash cow. and the ones on the conservative side, too, you're going to have certain groups that they like. Well, I like, you know, the NRA. Well, I like they're going to have certain groups that they like, and they're not going to want to give up their advantage. And the thing is that, you know, they all ought to be outlawed as far as to give directly to campaigns, all of them. And I know there's some good ones out there, but there's some bad ones.
I agree. Well, you know, and I think people wouldn't have as many problems. People don't have as many problems with private sector unions anyway compared to government unions, and we all agree on that, obviously. So maybe the bad PR job is being done by the unions, because, frankly, I wasn't aware of the fact that, and that's my fault, you know, I don't know everything, you don't have to join if you go in and the employer says, yes, I want everybody to be union. So that's just like with us,
the employer signs a contract with the union, and it's good for like 3 years, and then at the end of that they can opt out. They don't have to stay. Whatever the length of that contract is, you know, and they sign it willingly. They come in, they look at the facilities, they look at the training, they look at everything else, and they decide whether they want to be part of it or not.
Right. Well, what's this garbage with some of these unions? Like, well, I'm not going there because there's non-union workers there. That's something that's always bothered me, too. It's like, you know, if somebody decides that he wants to hire, you know, the electricians and the plumbers, but he doesn't want to hire construction, he wants to hire at another company, then you got the other companies and they're throwing big fits because, no, everyone that works on the project has to be union. You know, those are the kinds of things I think that gives you guys a bad name, too.
I think overall there's a lot of things that need to be addressed, and I like I said, I've talked about a lot of them to our leadership, even on a national level. I would love to, but I also want to see intellectual honesty, Dave, from conservatives who are cherry picking statistics and trying to kneecap an opponent. Whenever really, like I said, just make it illegal for anybody, any company, PAC. Anything to contribute to candidates, and then you know that you've taken care of the opponent, you've taken care of them.
You got one problem with that. You know what it is?
It's
the politicians that got to pass it.
Absolutely. If we could get it on a ballot initiative, we get enough signatures and get it on a ballot. I think the public would go for it. Maybe. Now, it's going to get fought. You know who it's going to get fought by? It's going to get fought by the unions. It's going to get fought by big business. It's going to get fought by the politicians. So, you know, it'd be a long, rough road, but I think it's about the only way to salvage system that we've got.
Right. And I had you guys on here on purpose because, you guys are both great. We get along great, but this is something I didn't know enough about, and this is the best way to do it, just by letting everybody know what it is. So, you know, and one thing I'm glad we all agree on is the fact that the government workers should not be able to unionize, because you see what's going on up in Wisconsin. I mean, I would imagine both you guys are like sick to your stomach every time you see that because the union's involved.
Go ahead, Rich.
That whole Wisconsin thing there's so much finger pointing going on and so much half truths about what's actually happening, and it's really frustrating because you see false statements about we're going to revert back to the 1920s because we're going to workers are losing all their protections and all this, and it's just not true, and it's just you see what happened in the Capitol, and it's just one more thing today that is separating people, and it's us against them, and it's your fault, not mine, and all this, and it's like nobody's looking at the big picture. It's, you know, they're trying to save a state, and they're not asking for an arm and a leg up there. They're asking for what, 5% of the health, 5% of the pension payment, and 12% of the health care payments, which is still far below the general public and the private sector unions are getting. And as far as the collective bargaining goes, that's where most of the problems come in, especially with the small local governments and community governments. You know, they get wrapped up in these contracts. And if I'm negotiating a contract and I'm out of a contract for 15 months, you know what, I'm probably out of a job too, because they're not going to sit back and not produce and not have people working for that period of time. They're not going to negotiate that long with us.
I have something for both you guys to answer in a second here, okay? I don't mean to interrupt you there. One of my issues also I see is that, say, for instance, is a big road project or a big federal project or something like that, and the only people that get hired are union members, and that's it. Now, a taxpayer,
that's
frustrates me. And I'm sorry, not only. Most cases, it is. And the reason is because unions are so strong. And that's an issue for me, because if I own a company and I'm competing against yours and my guys are qualified, then we should be competing head to head. I think you both guys agree with that anyway, but that's an issue sometimes.
That is how it works. I mean, if you have the qualifications, I don't even know what the percentage of non-union like infrastructure work is in this state, but there is a whole lot of non-union. The only thing that they do have to do is pay prevailing wage.
But that shouldn't even be their business.
Pardon me?
that shouldn't even be in the business. It should be, you know, one or the other, and that's it. It should be who's going to put out. Because if I'm going to hire somebody to do the job, and I realize that this contractor is only paying these people $5 an hour, and he's paying the other one $25 an hour, chances are, look, I ran a business. Chances are the $5 workers aren't going to do the job. So if
right.
I'm making a distinguished, if I'm going to figure out which way I'm going to go with that, I'm going to go with the ones that are going to get the job done right. But I don't
right.
think it's
well, –
nobody should be dictating, well, you get the job, but you got to pay them this much money. It's none of their business.
Well, aren't most of those jobs, like road jobs and all that, done on a bid basis where
yeah,
it doesn't
they
really matter if you're union or non-union, you bid the price for a particular job to a specific specifications. And if you
correct.
Have the lowest bid, then you get the job. So,
correct,
you know,
but they do
sure
have to
that's how
they do have to meet prevailing wage.
And that's a problem.
Okay.
Why? Why?
Well, let's just say they do that by county. Whenever you're looking at counties, that's how they come up with the prevailing wage. And let me give you an example. If you look at Howell County in Missouri for a carpenter, the prevailing wage is $11.07 per hour. Now, you know, if you go to Shannon County, a carpenter's prevailing wage would be $21.63 an hour. So, you know, if you're looking at prevailing wage and that only being the problem, and what they do is that they've got a formula where they average a bunch of the wages in that area, and then they say, you know what, I mean, you should at least be able to pay the wages that these people are making in this area. So you have a variance of some $20 per hour in this state. So it's just, and honestly, some of the benefits of that, again, you know, let's say I contact a company in New Jersey and say I want 50 green cards.
Right.
And I'm going to pay these guys very, very low wages. You know, it's not only is that money leaving the state, but it is might very well be leaving the country. And then you're going to have a drain on the social safety net of the state because you're also going to have people that need medical care as far as going to hospitals and everything else. So I'm just, and this is just something that I've seen in right-to-work states.
You know,
they are,
well,
they
prevailing
are
wage to me, though, I mean, do you guys actually agree with the prevailing wage?
I don't have a problem with the prevailing wage because
but
it that,
but that's taxpayers' from, money. It's not really, my problem is that then it's being compared to other things. It has nothing to do with it. If a company, say, in an area says we're going to do it for this much money and they're the most qualified, it shouldn't really have anything to do with the fact of what the prevailing wage is, because that's my tax money.
Well, yeah,
you know,
see,
you're
talking about a government issue there because they put racial quotas on the number of employees.
Absolutely.
Oh,
put
oh no,
per,
I agree
know,
with
so
you.
That's, yeah, and I don't, you know, I don't, I think you should get the most bang for your buck. It should be
right,
just like everything
right.
else, you know. But again, you're not going to get the same wages and say, you know, if you're working down in Licking, Missouri or Salem, Missouri, as you will if you're working in St. Louis or Kansas City, the wages are going to be different. I mean, you have different cost of livings in different areas. So, you know, I can see where a formula like that would be, you know, it's not that
I
out
think
of it's... line because you're not talking apples and apples. You might be talking apples and oranges depending where you're working in the state. You know, that's the only thing
right.
I
well,
can see about that.
That's true, but I don't think it should be dictated. It should be, it's my company. We're going back to my company. And if I say this is what I'm going to pay the guys and I'm qualified, then I should be able to compete is what it amounts to. I mean,
well, as it is, though, Dave, I mean, you know, what kind of influence can a particular business under the current law where they could also donate directly to candidates, what kind of influence could they have not to garner a lot of that work themselves? And then, like I said, get a bunch of cheap employees to come in and do the work. And there are a lot of different things that
but what you've done, though, if you don't mind me saying, is that if everyone's qualified, okay, and it's my money, then I want them to go ahead and get the best bang for their buck, just like you said. And what that forces everyone else to do to some extent is they have to compete. Now, let's not kid anybody. You guys make good money, which you deserve, okay? But if other companies are paying close to the same or a little bit less or whatever, then you're going to have to compete with them to some extent. You know, I mean, it's about competition. It's not like, well, I make this money and that's what I'm doing, because I sometimes hear that. I got to ask you a question somebody asked me here, because this is really kind of true. They said, this is a legal assistant, by the way, said, ask Kevin how they would, I won't say the whole thing, ask Kevin how they could feel, how they could get better representation to persuade the legislators instead of all the brothers in colors coming to JC and scare the crap out of them.
I think there's a lot of, and here's the big one. This is what I've always said. I think I don't care what your interest, if you're going to be able to contribute directly, then really what you ought to do is basically interview the candidates and see who's going to work with your specific interest as best that they can, whether you're the NRA or whether you're a union, if you're going to continue to be able to function like that. And that's my suggestion, is to have, you know, to basically be open-minded and see which one. Because, Dave, you know as well as I do, as soon as somebody thinks that you're in their back pocket, they take you for granted. They will.
Yeah,
I mean,
my wife does it all the time. My wife does it all the time.
So that's my point. Is I honestly, you know, I think I still, and forgive me for digressing a little bit, I hope I answered it a little bit, and that would be my solution, would be to talk to all sides. But the main thing is that I'm seeing an intellectual dishonesty on the other side, and what it's done is it's really crippled some of the conservative steps that I myself have been able to make, because it's handed them a cause. It's handed them a cause. Now they've got a rally cry. What I've heard for decades is, as soon as they get a Republican majority that is huge, they will go right to work. And I've always said, that's ridiculous. That legislation is decades old. It doesn't work well. And that's just a scare tactic. And then the first thing they do is say they're going to go right to work.
Yeah, but it's
they
but
have
scare,
no idea what they've just done.
But it's scare tactics on both sides, because another comment here.
They legitimized it. They legitimized it. It's what these guys, they finally didn't believe it anymore. Obviously,
but, okay,
from the last election
okay.
results.
All right, let's do this then. When the union thugs show up, then how come it's everyone else's job to take care of them, when in reality it should be Kevin and Rich and the rest of them saying, that's not how we're going to act here, because then it makes you guys look bad. So what I'm saying is, there has to be something from the unions to kind of police themselves to some extent. Otherwise, everybody sits back and says, well, that's not me, but that's what they're doing. You know, because look at how the Tea Party people, but look how the Tea Party people police themselves.
Right, but I'm going to tell you what. And look it up online, though. Go to YouTube. Steve Kagan, he's a legislator from Wisconsin, of all things. But listen to his town hall meeting on health care reform. And you listen to how he was shouted down. You listen to the chants that were in that room at that time. And I'm telling you that these are the same. I mean, it's Wisconsin. And if this was union people doing that, they would be called thugs. And I'm not saying that they weren't from the other side. But you know what? I didn't like it whenever they called them names either.
Well, they
I'm
were shouting
that we're doing
them
ourselves
down. But there's a big difference
shouting
between shouting
them down
and breaking through windows.
Well, that's – you know what? If you violate the law, arrest them, throw them in jail.
Well, I agree.
Just like
hey, guys.
I mean, yeah.
Okay, we got to get going here. We're about done, okay? Can we do this again?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. There's
Let's
there's
do it
a
again,
lot of things I'd like to touch on.
Okay, we'll do that, and maybe, Kevin, you'll have me on your show. How's that?
That sounds great, Dave.
Okay. Hey, guys,
I
appreciate
it. I don't have a show,
it.
Dave, but didn't you used to have a two-hour show?
Yeah, it's going to be a two-hour show, but I'm going to wait one more week, and you know, I'll do one more week of 1 hour, and then I'll go to 2 hours. I got to get back in the crew. So, okay,
kidding,
guys.
I appreciate being on with you tonight. It's good talking to
okay.
you again, Dave.
All right, we'll talk again.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay,
all right,
buddy.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Take care.
Okay. Thanks to those guys. I appreciate it. Hey, I appreciate their honesty. All right, everybody. I'll be back Monday. I'm going to do one more week of 1 hour shows, and then the week after I'm going to do two. I have some really cool news coming up, and I can't give it to you until later. So thanks a lot for listening. We'll be on Monday, and I hope you listen to me. And, wow, we went straight through on that one. There was no commercials. So that's the beauty of this as it is. All right, thanks a lot. We'll see you next week.
You can't quit.
And why not? Because you're fired.
You can't fire him.
Why not?
He quit.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Who's with me? Let's go! Come on! Thanks. I needed that.